I want to talk to you from Ephesians chapter 5, using as a text Ephesians 5:11, where Paul writes, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Every year about this time, somewhere between now and the Christmas holidays, I like to bring a message with regards to these holidays, about these holidays, some thoughts, some reflections with regards to the believer. All of us who have come to understand the word rightly divided, some before we came to know this and others after the fact, come to recognize that the holidays, all the major holidays, major quote-unquote Christian holidays, have some problems associated with them. And we have a tendency to have some questions about how to deal with these kinds of things. And I've learned over the years, when you talk about a subject like this, rather than people being edified, rather than people being comforted and encouraged, there's a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for, despondency, a lot of unhappiness when you talk about these things. And many of us are glad to see this time of year come and go real quick. but what I want to do, I just want to talk to you about a matter here that I think would help us when it comes to making decisions about these things, or will give us some guidance or some direction about how we should conduct ourselves, you know, at this time of the year. I want to start, again, reading verse 11, and then we're going to start from the beginning of chapter 5 and just kind of work our way down through there. Either you or Brother Greg will probably post. I think Brother Greg, unless Brother Greg is not going to, I would certainly appreciate the assistance there, Easy Frank. But in verse 11 again, Paul writes, he says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Now, I want you to go back to verse 1, and we're just going to work our way down through verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Paul is writing to people like you and me. People who have made the profession of faith, who have believed the gospel. And when we believe that gospel, it changed our state and our standing before God and with God. We become the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want you to understand about what verse 1 says when he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children," that as a child of God, you made a decision to believe God. And when you did, that was something that was declared or a statement that is made by your faith in God. I want you to look back at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul writes, he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." what I want you to understand about when Paul writes there in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, that when you believe the gospel, I think I asked this question, I made this statement last week, if I'm not mistaken. I've mentioned this at our Wednesday night Bible study. I can't remember exactly if I mentioned it here on Pal Talk. But a young lady asked me one night in Bible study, she said, how do you know when you believed? And I thought that was a great question. Took a moment, reflection upon it, and the answer I responded to her with was this. When what you believe changed the direction of your life. When do you know when you've believed something? When it changes the direction of your life. And in this case, we're talking about the gospel. We're talking about how do you know when you say, how do you know you believe? When it changes the direction of your life. Well, that's what happened here. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. But I don't want you to miss that issue about how you turn to God from idols. Now, most of us probably wouldn't have thought of ourselves as being idol worshipers, idolaters. And that's because we don't understand, you know, we don't accept God's view of the matter. But all lost people are idolaters. Remember Romans 1? Go to Romans 1. Beginning at verse 19. Romans 1, verse 19. Let's start back at verse 18. Romans 1, verse 18. We'll start at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? Unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, notice now, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, that's the facts about all men. They're all idolaters. And when Paul writes in Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, he's talking about the fact that we turn to God from something. And that's the point that I want you to see here, is that we turn to God from idols. We turn to God from idolatry. When God saved us, He delivered us from idolatry. Not just simply having your sins forgiven. He did that. And praise God and thank God that He did that. But it was more than just about having your sins forgiven. There's the issue of turning to God from idolatry. Verse 2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The long and the short of that simply is that Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now that's preceded by saying, look not every man on his own thing, but also on the things of others. That's walking in love, as Christ also hath loved us, being not high-minded, but condescending to men of low estate, looking not on our own thing, but also on the things of others, considering the welfare of others, esteeming others better than ourselves. That's walking in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But now notice in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be what? Once named among you as becometh saints. Now what Paul says there in that verse is much bigger than just simply your own personal sins of the flesh. There's something much larger in view. You know, back over in can't think of it right now where it's at, so I'll move on. But in that verse there, there's something much, an issue much bigger there. But fornication and all uncleanness and all, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Okay. Now, excuse me now, I was kind of distracted there. In verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. The thing that impresses me about that statement is that God has a zero tolerance for sin. Okay? He has a zero tolerance for sin. But the sin in that verse there is more than just simply your, the personal sins of the flesh. There's a bigger issue here. It's idolatry. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is and what? An idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, again, think about Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. One, that's what we were delivered from. We were delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when he talks about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and also with Romans chapter 1, that issue of darkness is not just simply, you know, how we sometimes think of dark forces, witchcrafts, Satanism, and so forth. Although those things would obviously be included in the reference, I think something a little bit more fundamental is at issue here. In Ephesians 4:18, he says, having the understanding what? Darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If you go back to Romans chapter 1, you see that issue of darkness in the heart. The kind of darkness that I think is being referenced here, verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. And their foolish heart was what? Darkened. And when he talks about having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, he's talking about a mindset, that exists out there that stands in opposition to him and his ways, to God and God's ways. You're talking about lost people. You're talking about the highest ideas that are embraced and believed and shared by lost people as being darkness. You see, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see, when they abandoned the knowledge of the true and the living God, they were left with darkness. And the imaginations and the thoughts and of their heart was nothing but darkness. And I say again, the highest ideas that are often held forth by man are the ideas that of men that did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And all of it is darkness. Just like John talks about, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You cannot love the world and love God. There's a zero tolerance on God's part for his people to be allied with idolatry. Let not these things, he says, be once named among you as becometh saints. Zero tolerance for it. Now, go back to Ephesians 5. Now, I stress that issue of zero tolerance and the fact that when you and I believe the gospel, we weren't just forgiven of our sins, but we were delivered unto the Lord. You know, we were delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And God doesn't want us to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. They don't produce anything good. They don't produce anything that's glorifying to God. They don't produce anything that God will accept. Idolatry is utterly rejected by God, no matter how sentimental we may be about it. With God, it is utterly rejected. Let not these things be once named among you as becometh saints. He says, neither filthiness nor foolishness, foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And that you know, again, he says that so that, as his exhortation is for us not to be partakers of those very things. Now, it is not that these things cannot be named among us. They can. They should not be. And it is it's a matter of great shame. And it's a matter of great, how would I say, as Israel did, they caused God's name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles because of their idolatry. We likewise cause God's name to be evil spoken of, too, because of idolatry. And that is a great shame because, again, that verse says, no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That being a factual truth, that's being a factual statement, for a child of God to have these things named among them, what kind of a light do you think that places God in? How do you think men will what do you think men will think of God? Now, we're children of God. Now, think this through. When we believe the gospel, remember Romans 5:6, while we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when we put our faith and our trust in the faithfulness of Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross, when we did that, that moment, that instant, Colossians 1 talks about we pass from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, that's our standing and state and position. That's our destiny. That's where we are. That's who we are. We're children of God. We're children of His kingdom. But no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater have any inheritance. We have an inheritance. Now, that's how I know that verse is not talking about me as a believer. That's how I know that verse is not warning me and threatening me with the loss of my salvation. Because I have already been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I already have an inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ, and in the kingdom of God. I already have an inheritance through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because, that's why, again, going back to verse 3, he says, let not these things be once named among you as becometh saints. What would they think of God when our lives are a reflection of the idolater? Our lives are a reflection of the lost man, that is, being saved, though living like the lost man, being saved, living like an idolater. And having an inheritance in the kingdom. Being forever, you know, again, once in, ever out. Once saved, always saved. What would men think of God in that light? Go ahead, Brother Greg. if he got him with his computer. But you can understand, again, God has, we've been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And that we are not to let these things be once named among us, because when we do, we cause God's name to be evil spoken of. You got to think of the promises that God has given you in Christ. And God cannot respond to you but in one way. Positive. Because of the blood of Christ. We've been made, again, Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You see, this is what makes sin in a believer's life such a horrible thing, such a terrible thing. It's because of who God has made us in Christ. It is because of God's promises to us in Christ. It is because we have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. We've been given that up front. That for us to be partakers, for us to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness is such a dastardly thing. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Different subject matter, but same idea of what I'm talking about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be what? Be not blasphemed. You see, that's the issue. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. So when he says, for this know ye that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, that's not you. That's a factual statement about lost people. But that is not a statement about those things being in your life, meaning that you won't have and inherit any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's not what that verse is teaching. It is a statement about lost people. It is not a statement about saved people. It's an admonition. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke against those who are saved, allowing these things to be a part of their life, to be in their life. Sister Harris, I see your question, and the fact that you got it posted there, we'll get it there. I won't be long here. I'll be wrapping this up in a few seconds here so that we can address any question. So hold that thought, and I'll be right there. But again, if you go on, look at verse 6. He says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, Ephesians 5:1 already declared you to be who? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 has already declared you to be a child of God, children of God. You're not a child of disobedience. In fact, look back at chapter 2. I want you to look at something. Look back at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and 3. And you hath he quickened. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Don't miss the tense. Who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, going back over to Ephesians 5, when he says, upon whom these things cometh the wrath of God, upon the children of disobedience. You're not a child of disobedience. You're a child of God. Now, you can be a child of God and be disobedient, but you cannot be a child of God and be a child of disobedience at the same time. I hope you see that. I hope you get what's being said. You are not, as a believer, you are not defined or described as the children of disobedience. These are factual statements about lost people. And an admonition against those things being named once among us as believers, as becometh saints. And again, he says, when he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's why there's the admonition for those things not to be once named among us, because the wrath of God is, we've been delivered from the wrath of God. Now you need to remember that. We've been delivered from the wrath of God. The wrath of God does not, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, to wit, or to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their what? Their trespasses unto them. God, because of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is free to respond to us in a positive way. Romans 5:20 says it this way, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Titus 2:13 says, or Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and that we should live soberly and righteously in this present world. But the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. See, God is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. And them that believe are translated from the kingdom of darkness, from the power of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear Son. You acquire a new standing, a new state, a new status in Christ. In Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. You're not the children of disobedience. You don't stand in jeopardy of losing your soul. But what you stand in jeopardy of is causing the name of God and his doctrine to be blasphemed. Be ye followers of God as dear children. And if that wasn't strong enough arguments made that you don't have to worry about losing your soul as a child of God, and that those verses are not talking about you. Look at verse 7. Be not ye therefore what? Partakers with them. You see, Paul is writing to people that are not in the category of the people he defines and describes in verse 5 and 6 there. Be not ye therefore partakers. See, you're separate and distinct from that of lost people. Can your life look like a lost man? Absolutely. Should it look like a lost man? Absolutely not. Should your thoughts and the ideas that you embrace about life and about your walk and your relationship to God and about your relationship to other people, should it be ideas that exhausts itself? Should it be knowledge that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God? See, that's what I'm getting at here about the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm talking about the highest ideas of lost people is an abomination to God. You and I as believers are not to walk according to the viewpoint, human viewpoint, according to the spirit of this world at all. We are to be totally and completely guided. We are to be totally and completely guided by the Word of God, rightly divided. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk, again, the things that governs our lives as believers should be the viewpoints that we have, the thoughts and the ideas, the attitudes that we have should be God. The spirit of faith is learning to say back, for us to learn to say back what God has said to us. The ideas that we express about any subject matter ought to be that of God and not of man. We don't have viewpoints of our own. Our viewpoints is to be the viewpoint of God. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways and God's thoughts higher than our thoughts. Be ye not therefore partakers with them. And that issue of partaking with them is, you know, sharing in the thoughts and the ideas, embracing the thoughts and the ideas of the world. Embracing the thoughts and the ideas of lost men, lost people. And holding those things forth as if there's some great value or some positive benefit to be gained by espousing such views. And what I'm talking about, I'm going to just be right to the point about this. You take all the arguments that are usually advanced and argued about, you know, the major holidays that have been, you know, the and might as well call them for what they are, the major pagan holidays that have been Christianized, and the arguments for Christianizing them and for us to participate in them. I submit to you that those ideas, those thoughts, are not of God. They're the spirit of the world. They're the sentimentalism of the world. And we are not to be partakers. We're not to have... We are not to embrace those things as if they were harmless. I hope you understand idolatry is not harmless in any form, to any degree. You go back and you study Israel's history. When they went in, God required them to wipe out the idolatry totally and completely and not to leave any of it hanging around. A little leaven does what? Leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. You see how he's making the distinction between you and the lost man, and warning and admonishing you not to allow these things to be once named among you as becoming saints. For ye were once or sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You see, that's what you and I need to do. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. By the way, at this point I remind you of verse 2 when he says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. This is where you have to look not on your own thing, but also on the things of others. This is where you have to esteem others better than yourself. Rather than trying to hold on to some sentimental value of a pagan idea that has been have been Christianized to make it acceptable, when idolatry in any form is to be rejected. You have to think of the real problem. It is not so much for you as it is for those other idolaters. The stumbling block that you put in their way that keeps them from coming to a saving knowledge and coming to the true knowledge, coming to the knowledge of the true and the living God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. Now, I'm going to end there and hope at least, I hope I made the point. At least, if I haven't and you have questions, please do ask. But at this time of the year and other times of the year, we have to remember, we are children of God and we are to be followers of God as dear children. And we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, the ideas, the doings of men are not to be honored. Idolatry is not to be honored in any way, shape, form, or fashion.